The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, how we doing?
Un partido de números, for those listening in Spanish.
Oh, muy bien.
I just want to say this, everybody. If Kelly and I pass out before the 2 hours elapse, there's a reason for this. We are there's an inhalant. An inhalant, I believe that's the technical term here in the studio.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a cloud.
There was some spray painting going on outside, I believe.
I just want to, my inhalant rankings, I go gasoline number one. The smell of gasoline. Could chill in a gas station all day, be no problem for me. Glue number two. Paint is the worst, and it smells like paint in here.
Yeah.
And there's a haze in here.
Yeah, there's a legit haze in the studio right now. So, yeah, if you start seeing Gil or I wobble a little bit, that's what's going
a little
on.
Wobble. A little wobble.
A little wobble.
And not the dance either. On the show today, Paul Sporer on baseball, Jay Kahn on Ovechkin and hockey, the home stretch of the NHL regular season, and Alex Ovechkin does the impossible, breaks the all-time goal record yesterday in perfect fashion, by the way, right on his spot. To the left of the goal there on a circle, a perfect slide afterwards, head first slide, picked up off the ground. It was awesome.
And,
the Caps lose.
And Friday night, he didn't want to go out there and score on an empty net, right? Which, that's just awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know a bunch of folks back in D.C. who had tickets for Thursday, so they're a little disappointed, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do, for God's sakes? But I want to get to the bottom of whether all this has hurt the Caps in the end. Wes Reynolds on, of course, the national title game tonight. And preliminary Masters thoughts. And after the show, after Stormy's 2 hours, we're going to do a Masters Beating the Book podcast.
That's right, we are.
So the prelim to the Long Shots podcast, you and Matt Brown will join me here in studio.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
yeah.
That'll be fun.
Digging into the Masters for a few hours yesterday. So ready to go, Gil.
Ready to go.
Having fired on everything because, Vegas is going to take their sweet time posting odds for the Masters.
When this state gets legitimate sports betting, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
NFL draft, we'll talk that as well. Kelly and I both making bets on that. Of course, the headline is the national championship game tonight between Florida and Houston. Florida and Houston, where this it started out as Houston as a one-point favorite. It is now Florida as a one-point favorite. Total at 141. For those who are trapped, who were trapped under a heavy object on Saturday, and I know we're a day and a half later here, Kelly, but there are times where a day and a half later, and we haven't had our go at it.
Yeah,
we need to have our go at it. Florida had already advanced to the national title game, of course, with their win over Auburn, and then Duke is. Crushing? I don't know if crushing is too hard, but they're up 14. Duke is. With just over 8 minutes left in this game. Matter of fact, we have a tweet giving you the exact win probability on this. But Duke has a prohibitive win probability. They're up 14 on Houston with over 8 minutes left in the game. Exactly 8:17 left, 59:45. And at that point, by the way, we're sending back texts back and forth between us, me and some others as well, where it's like, wow, if Houston's not shooting 9 of 17 from three at this point, even if it's 6 of 17, they're down 20.
Right. It's a blowout.
It's a blowout. You and I were right betting Duke early in the week. All of our guests who came on thereafter say Houston plus the points. Oh my God, they're ridiculous. And here it is from Evan Maya. This is Evan Miyakawa, who goes by Evan Maya on Twitter. With 8:17 left, Duke had a 98.5% chance of winning. And he says, then the Houston kill shot happened. They outscored Duke 25-8 from that point on. But this reminds me of when Parlay was producer five, and we talked about the Auburn Virginia game. In that tournament in 2019, this was just epic because from that point forward, so down 14, Houston goes on a 10-0 run, 10-0 run to cut the lead to 4. But Duke got two Proctor free throws and then a flag, Cooper Flagg splash 3 to put Duke back up 9 with 3:03 left in the game. So Duke's back up 9 with 3:03 left. By the way, that flag 3-pointer, the only Duke field goal made in the last 10 minutes and 20 seconds of this ball game. That alone is impossible. And yet that's the case. And at that point, Duke's up 9 with 3:03 left. You're still in, you know, not only are you in win mode, forget that. You're not even thinking about that. You're like, okay, well, they look like they're still going to cover maybe here. And I actually think the single biggest possession that gets lost in this happened then, which is that Duke is up 9 under 3 minutes left. Houston has the ball. Uzan misses a three. Tugler gets the board. Sharp misses a three. Cryer gets the board. Tugler misses a 9-footer. He gets his own board, sticks it back. Sharp sticks it in for a layup to cut it to 7. That possession was just Houston scrappiness getting every board. Like, I remember Todd texting at that moment going, is Duke ever going to get a rebound? Can we get a rebound here at some point? Because he had Duke. So it's 7 at that point. That's immediately followed by Proctor coughing it up. He did not have a good final stretch. 2 more free throws to knock it down to 5. Then they traded 2 free throws. Then with Duke up 5, Joseph Tugler commits the technical foul by reaching over the out-of-bounds line and knock the ball out of Zion James's hands with 1:14 left. And Knepel hits the technical free throw. So Duke is still up 6 with 1:14 left in this game. Remember,
with a gift, too.
You're still covering. Forget winning. You're still covering.
With a gift of a technical foul. Like, what are you doing?
Textbook technical.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, the refs have no choice at that point, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Kelvin Sampson and the coaching staff make a decision that I'm not going to say I was questioning at the time, but I certainly was like, oh, that's a choice, which is they let the possession run.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're like, okay, we're down 6, just over a minute left. Let's play this out. You know, the Jim Valvano days, you're fouling left and right here and forcing one-on-ones. And so they play it out. And with just, you know, the shot clock goes almost all the way down, and Knepel misses the late shot clock layup. Tugler contested. He misses it. Emmanuel Sharp, 3-pointer with 33 seconds left to cut the lead in half to 3. Then a steal by Wilson. Wilson misses the 3. Tugler gets the board and dunks it in on the follow-up,
mm-hmm.
right? So instead of a tie game in one possession left territory, Houston is still down 1. In the end, it probably hurt Duke that Houston didn't make the 3 and had the follow-up 2 to still be down 1. At that point, at that point, it's a 1-point game. Proctor misses the 1-1, which is, again, this is like, as you're watching this, you're like, I cannot believe what is just developing before my eyes. Proctor misses the 1-1, and then flag gets fouled. This is the football thing. Wait, football fouls are flagged. Flag gets fouled here.
Right, yeah.
On what is a terrible call. So all that said, right, Duke just gacking this away. But flag gets fouled for the over the back on Juwan Roberts, which was ticky-tack. It's like the ref was waiting to make the call. Like, he couldn't wait. He was staring at flag and Roberts basketball. I was like, I can't wait to make this call.
That was an awful call.
He makes the call. And then Juwan Roberts, what is 62% free throw shooter? Nails them both, because of course he does. Houston is up. What in the world is happening? And then the Duke's final possession, flag got the shot he wanted, and he came up short. L.J. Cryer hits 2 free throws. They're up 3, and then the desperation 3 at the end. That's your ball game. KD bar the door. Unbelievable.
I'm still in shock. I'm still in shock, Gil.
It's a day and a half later. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, not even just whatever with the bets, right? Like, yeah, we were
whatever looking good. Whatever
with the bets is we were looking good forever, but just the fact that we're sitting here today, still we're talking about Duke losing this game. It's just mind-blowing what happened down the stretch. And I'm with you. Like, this is... I mean, good on Houston. I would have been fouling down the stretch. Like, that is, and it's really what helped turn things their way. A couple things go their way, and all of a sudden they've got, you know, they're down 1 and then got a lead. But, man, the fact that we're sitting here today not talking about Duke being in the national championship game is just shocking.
It's incredible. 9-0 run for Houston in the final 35 seconds of this game. Is that amazing? I mean, that's wild. No matter how you break it down.
And even throw all of this stuff out, right, Gil? Like, everything, how much Duke was up, how much the drought they had at the end, the Houston comeback. If you told Duke, Cooper Flagg gets the shot he wants.
Oh, they got
with the game on the line.
It was like a 12-footer. I mean, it's exactly what you want.
It's exactly what you want.
Yeah. But give Houston all the credit in the world. And then, you know, again, when the line came out, the first line was Houston minus one. And I was mildly surprised by that. Because everybody, I get, there's recency because that was the game you just saw. But everybody just saw how miraculous, how fantastical that win was. So I figured Florida would probably open as favorite. Now it is Florida as a minus one favorite. But then after, you know, when Houston was the 1-point favorite, my next thought after the initial mild surprise was, these guys really going to lose the national title after that?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing should scare them off at this point. Nothing is overcomeable, is not over. You know, nothing is too daunting to be overcome with this team. It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know about you. We definitely still lean to Florida. Maybe I'll have a bet on Florida before tip tonight, but nothing so far because I think it would be Florida or nothing for me, dude, but after that game Saturday night.
I'm just going to say this. Anybody who comes on the show, we're going to have Dr. Bob on the show today too. Dr. Bob with his last college basketball appearance. Anybody who comes on the show today and dares say, oh, this team is clearly the better team and they're clearly going to win this game. Come on at this point. I don't think anybody will, but I'm just saying if they did.
Even these, like, just we've been talking for weeks now about being in this, you know, in this era of these super teams in college basketball. These super teams can still go that long of a scoreless drought at the end of a game. It's just incredible.
10-20, one field goal made for Duke. The formula needs Houston. Or if Florida wins, Todd Golden becomes the third exception in 3.5 decades. To the Sweet 16 prior experience clause, along with Danny Hurley in 2023 and, of course, Kevin Ollie in 2014. Todd Golden trying to buck that. Houston's always been qualified. We'll come back more on the weekend, including the race to 10 in baseball. Not so much. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. And it's the best deal of the season. For just $59, get VSiN full pro access to everything we do from now through August 1st. That's 50% off the regular monthly price. That's VSiN pro access full for just $59. From Augusta to the NFL draft, MLB action, the NBA and NHL playoffs, and the Kentucky Derby, VSiN pro has you covered all summer long. Sign up now and get expert picks, including all our best bets for the Masters, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide and the NFL betting guide when it drops this summer, giving you a head start on the football season. Every sport, every edge, one price. Get full access now through August 1st for just $59 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets as we inhale paint fumes and you are watching our slow demise, both of us.
Gil's like, I think it's a bit brighter in here today, too. I'm like, no, I think it's legit the smoke paint haze that we have reflecting light.
Not bright yet, blinding because of the rays of light. We get tweets beating the book. Jack Olaquire. Hey, we met Jack Olaquire. Says, Gil and Kelly heading down to Baton Rouge with my brothers Jim and Jeff. It's Jim, Jeff, Jack, and there was a fourth J. Just replayed Fezzik Friday. Could you please explain binomial distribution in the hopes your ratings go up? Yes. He caught my joke with Fezzik. I'm like, yeah, keep saying binomial distribution, Fezzik. Ratings are just dying. Fake follower. A couple of weeks ago, I X'd you. I bet one unit on each of your four formula picks that you gave. Duke plus 370, Auburn plus 340, Houston plus 750, and Florida plus 950, Florida being the fly in the ointment. And I asked, what could go wrong? Evidently nothing. Tonight I'm paid for one of the two dogs. Thank you. You are welcome. So he's good to go with Houston at plus 750 or Florida plus 950 tonight. Chuckism 1. I don't know if I can trust any of your bets today. It might be the fumes. You're not kidding, man.
Fair.
I'm not sure I would either. Anthony Ventresca, I need your opinion on the White Lotus season finale. Also, let's go Gators. Okay, I will not do any spoilers about the White Lotus season finale because I wouldn't want anybody to do it to me because it's too close to the original airtime.
Okay.
We have to push White Lotus talk back a few days. I will just say this. I thought it lived up to everything. I thought the finale was great.
So,
as painful as the season was, I thought the finale was great.
In the end, it was all worth it?
I don't know about all that, but it was a satisfying final episode.
So next week when the Masters is over,
yes,
green light or red light for Kelly to watch it because I still haven't watched episode one yet.
Green light it. What else you got to do? Green light.
Well, like there's so many good shows out there. You know, I hate wasting time watching bad shows. You know,
I'd still say yes.
Okay,
I'd still say yes. Ice Cold Gambler. Do the VSiN hosts have a over-under on when Kelly weighs less than Gil? Kelly looking slim on the TV screen. Good work, Kelly. Way to stay committed to the workout. What's she trying to say, Jason?
Well, thanks. I think I still got quite a ways to go, though, for that one.
Yeah, he's got a little work to do, my friend. Mikey P., one of the best sports times of the year. You guys picked the wrong week to start inhaling paint. He's got the old shot from Airplane, the movie from 1980. You guys picked the wrong week to start inhaling glue on that one. NCI 95 Gambler, I hope you guys had a great weekend flying into Las Vegas Friday morning. We'd love to come say hi. A question for the golf expert on the show. What are the best books that offer in-play golf bets since I'll arrive one day after the Masters starts?
Gil chuckles. MGM Caesars if you're looking to live bet the golf, but everybody will have stuff posted in between rounds.
For the Masters in between rounds.
Yeah.
For in-play in round.
Yeah, MGM Caesars.
MGM Caesars.
And then, I mean, look, all the books will, but it's those will be the most reliable of when you can get on and make a bet at pretty much any time.
Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy, says, thanks for the recap. Had Duke, Houston under 64.5, and Flag most outstanding player. Fell asleep in the middle of the second half. Woke up to, why are they interviewing Kelvin Sampson? What the hell happened?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Bro, I'm telling you. Trip Tepper, Duke's inability to rebound and number 14 being a very skittish inbounder was the cocktail that sunk Duke. They look like a team who didn't have a well-prepared press break. Shire managed the last 2 minutes poorly. Kelvin worked him. I like a lot of that, including their lack of having games this season where they were in tight situations, right? The only, like, what, Kentucky, Kansas? They lost both of those. Those were tight. But other than that, they kind of had a cakewalk season.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston was always playing. Well, not always, but they had more close games here. So, yeah, you're right about the inbounds passes. It felt like a high school team that hadn't practiced that. And I would add one more thing that sort of got lost in that last stretch of time. There was a few open look threes that Duke had where they, in a normal free-flowing game, would have shot them. And I thought they were a little skittish on those as well. And that was Flag and Knepel at one different point. And Stringfellow Hawk adds, it's a huffing game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. It really is today. We'll get into more college basketball again with our guest, Dr. Bob Wes Reynolds, coming up here on the show. The race to 10 and the March-April market in baseball, which I have bets on in both. And because the Dodgers exist, neither really inspire much hope. The race to 10... Could have ended yesterday. The Phillies came from ahead and then came from behind to beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers still lead, though, at 9-2. Let's just start with the race to 10. The race to 10 could/should end today at Washington. Dodgers could get to 10 wins, and they'll get there alone if that's the case. Here are the records here. These both apply to both the race to 10 and March-April, obviously. Dodgers are 9-2. The Giants, who lead the NL West by percentage points, 8-1. How about them Giants? Padres are 8-2. Rangers are 8-2. Look at the run differentials, by the way, in the second column. The Rangers are 8-2 with a -1 run differential. You got to try, man, to do that.
That is impressive. And 5-0 in one run games.
And that's why. 5-0 in one run games for the Rangers, and they lost another game by 11 runs. So that'll get you 8-2 with a -1 run differential. Remember, run differential is the tiebreaker at Circa. Phillies and Cubs have each won 7. Cubs have lost 5, though. Phillies have only lost 2. And then our race to 10 pick was the New York Metropolitans. They're 6-3. And by the way, when I was sort of mapping it out, making that bet, Mets 17-1 to win the race to 10 preflop, 6-3 is where I thought they'd be right now. Didn't quite get there exactly the way that I thought they would, but 6-3 is where I thought they could, because the schedule just crescendos for them in terms of ease in this, you know, race to 10 pocket. But the Dodgers were so ridiculously good early that none of that will ultimately matter. Angels, Yankees, Red Sox also with 6 wins. So that's where we stand. By the way, my March-April team, the Twins, it could not have gone worse thus far. They had a 6-run lead yesterday. They gacked that to the Astros.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's not fun.
I can't get over the rest of these NL West teams.
Three like NL West teams at the top.
Giants, Padres, you're great, but you got no shot. That's basically all I've heard. That's all I've heard since the start of the season.
For the season, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I love the Giants. You know me. That offense is not restaurant quality quite yet, but they got... they do have sneaky good offensive players. I will say that. Like, Elliot Ramos is on fire early. Yaz is always clutch. Can I call Mike Yastrzemski Yaz? I'm probably not. Probably not allowed to.
Close.
No, we're close. Well, I think Carl Yastrzemski gets Yaz.
He might have an issue. Yeah.
His grandfather. I don't know how sustainable it is with the Giants, although the Giants have, you know, good pitching. And then the Padres are really great, too. So, I mean, those three teams, who knows how long that could last for, where it's a three-headed monster towards the top. But the Dodgers, obviously, the favorite. And they are the favorite to win the race to 10, which I don't know how many people had them race to 10 because the numbers were not very sexy to do that. Did you have a winner in golf this weekend?
No, not at all. Not even close. No. Congratulations, Brian Harman, getting a W again. It was, if you watched it all this weekend, this is, you know, we probably don't talk about it enough with betting golf. Sometimes weather just wipes you out. And that was, like, I had some guys that were in the hunt in the race on Saturday, and Saturday morning I'm watching, and winds are blowing so hard, the pins are, you know, basically bent in half. And, oh, man, everybody I had, Fleetwood, Keegan, Berger, all just went backward, and it just became survive as long as you could till the end. And Brian Harman gets it done, so good for him back in the winner's circle. After a British Open championship, what was that, last year, year before?
How many Masters bets you going to have available on the Beating the Book pod today?
Well, let's see, Gil. Let's see. I made a few yesterday when some markets started to open up. I did add one outright.
Well, look at you.
And then I will have a few others. I did add one placement market bet, and then I've got a few others circled that I will be betting, but just still waiting for shops to open up so I can correctly price shop.
All right. These are the old ones that you already talked about?
No, these ones, you can throw these up, guys. Right. Yeah, this is kind of my updated portfolio so far. So we had the two I made earlier in the season, Akshay and Sepp Straka on the outrights. I will be adding to Sepp. I'm not maybe in the outright markets. I will be adding, though, a top five and top 20 on him. I'm bullish on Sepp again, Gil. I still don't think the numbers are short enough on him overall. I really like him this week. So Shane Lowry was the one outright. I think you're going to hear him be pretty popular this week, but I understand it. What he's doing on approach right now, what he's going to be able to do around the greens. We've had some weather down in the Augusta area here the past couple days. Supposed to get a lot of rain today. Doesn't look like it's going to be bad during the Masters, but you know, if you get weather, Shane Lowry's never a bad look. So played an outright on him and covered it with a top 10, and then I'm pretty heavy in on Morikawa top 10. I don't think I'm going to go in an outright on him, though.
Yeah, looking fairly pristine this weekend right now with the weather forecast at Augusta. But you know how weather works.
Yep.
Stuff changes. Joe Pita's got a baseball play on the other side, as do I. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're probably not great at betting every sport. Let Rithm help. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you? Rithm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or looking for an edge, Rithm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Right now, you can get 50% off an annual core subscription with promo code VSIN. What's that promo code, Kelly? What
is it? VSIN, as in the Vegas Sports and Information Network.
I think it's Vegas Stats and Information Network, but sure, that works. Or 25% off your first month with promo code HOOPS25. Head over to rhythm.com. I'll spell rhythm for you. It's not traditional. RITHMM.com. Predict, play, dominate with rhythm. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin to my left, everybody. Joe Pita has a baseball play. Would you like to hear Joe Pita's baseball play?
What you got, Joe?
Joe Pita, who on the year here on the show, 10-8 for plus 1.83 units. So after a scorching start, 10-8 plus 1.83 units. And what did Joe say? He goes, I'll do it as long as people want to see me in positive. But once it gets negative, he said it gets a little dicey. It's at the Roxy thing now. Everybody, all my baseball guys are like, as soon as it goes bad, I'm out of here, they say.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Joe is pumped about this one, though. He's got the Orioles today. Baltimore Orioles is Joe's play. Orioles taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks, a little interleague play. Joe's got it at plus 109. That is exactly the price that it's available at right now. Orioles, plus 109 at Arizona today in Major League Baseball. I am, you can predict what I'm going to do. And I've already done it. I made a bet or two on this. The Athletics are back in Sacktown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can tell you're very excited by this.
So we're going over?
Yes, we are. It's at eight. It's at eight. I have two bets. I have eight over eight minus 142, I think I laid, and 8.5 even money. I made a couple bets at different times. I was like, oh, eight and a half. So I've got both of those. But I do have an eight at an extra juice. The 8.5 is the, we'll go with that officially, 8.5 even money. It's in Sacramento. It's Sutter Health Park. And I don't know if you heard my whole spiel on this last week, but essentially when you go from Oakland to Sacramento, everything you read about it offseason is, oh, the dimensions are the exact same thing. Their in-play dimensions are the exact same thing. But the foul ground in Oakland, and I hear people parroting this now, even some people on this network who's like, oh, you know what else I noticed? The foul ground. The foul ground in Oakland was such that that balls turn into outs. And they do so in a way where you're watching Major League Baseball, you don't really process it. And so we'll keep going back to the well on this. This is Michael King against Luis Severino. Guess what? Flyball pitcher. Over in Sacramento today. Padres at Oakland.
They haven't really adjusted these numbers much.
They haven't adjusted them at all.
What's the, do you know what the, do you know what the record is? Like on the totals?
They're undefeated so far.
To the over?
Yes. It's only been three games, though, I think, right? Three? Okay. Okay. Do I have that right?
I'll look it up.
Paul Spohr is here, ladies and gentlemen, not to be outdone talking Major League Baseball with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow his work at FanGraphs, Sleeper in the Bust podcast. He joins us now from Austin, Texas, where we hope Charlotte, his dog, makes an appearance as well. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing well. How are you? She's right over here.
There we go. Charlotte over the left shoulder today. What did you say to Kelly? Said to me, what did you say? You want to be Paul's dog in another life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In reincarnation, I'm going to come back as Paul's dog. Look how comfortable just that couch looks back there. We always see Charlotte curl up on.
Henry over there. We got Charlotte here. You'd be remarkably well taken care of. I'm
see?
One of those people that is very obsessed with their dogs and making sure that their lives are perfect.
Next time we have Spore on, if you're just casually curled up on one of the couches. And like, is that
Kelly
don't
back
be there?
Surprised. Yeah.
Okay, Paul, let me just ask you this. What of these is sustainable? What is not? Let's go through some of these teams, okay? Obviously, we're not even at 10 games yet in most cases. San Francisco Giants, let's start there. 8-1. Now, when I say sustainable, I'm not saying they're going to have that at pace.
Right.
But generally speaking, sustainable or unsustainable?
You know, Gil, I'm pretty tough on your team, right to your face often, but I see a little bit of heat here. I got to be honest, I absolutely adored the Willy Adames move after really liking the Chapman move the year before. So two key moves to establish a beautiful left side of their infield, which not only has the benefits of their offense, but their defense is really going to help all of their pitchers. Even if you're not a heavy ground ball guy, any ground ball you get over there, you're going to feel very comfortable. It's going to be played brilliantly. And then you've got guys like Jung-Hoo Lee and Elliot Ramos and Patrick Bailey, kind of the youngish core that's coming up. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee's a little bit older. Elliot Ramos, I think, is in his age 25 season. Age 25, I think, for Bailey as well. So they're not super babies, at age 26, in fact, for Bailey. But they're young for this team for sure. So they now have more than half their lineup is kind of intriguing guys on the right side of 30. Chapman's a little bit over, and then those other four guys. So not quite half their lineup there. I fudged it a little bit. I'm not as big on Tyler Fitzgerald. I'd like to bring him into the mix, but I just don't believe it. So I'm not going to lie to you there and say that 27-year-old Tyler Fitzgerald fits there too. But the pitching was something I already liked for this team. So now that they're adding a compelling lineup to the mix, I do think there's some viability here. This is a bloodbath division. I'm really eager to see how these teams are going to beat up on each other, but you have four teams now that I feel really strongly about. I already like the Dodgers, Padres, and Diamondbacks, and I'm being swayed by this Giants team early on. They have to stay healthy, as does any team, but I think they really have to. They don't have depth. They are old, so I think they're on a little bit more of a line. But if they do find a good bit of health in San Francisco, I think that they're going to be competitive again this year.
Division odds, 19-1. Would you take a swing at that?
I have a hard time getting away from the Dodgers there. And this is as somebody who picked the Diamondbacks to win the World Series.
Okay.
So, you know, you got somebody upending things when you get in the playoffs there. But it's hard for me. I think I need a more enticing number. And the fact that they started 8-1 is why isn't quite as enticing as it could be. Maybe wait for them to hit a lull. If you really like it, if you really want to get in on the Giants for the division because you just really got a feeling, Let them lose four in a row and then jump in. You got plenty of time still where these numbers are going to go up and down. I don't think right now is the time to go for it when they're 8-1.
Texas Rangers, 8-2 out of the gates, a year removed from their World Series title, 5-0 in one-run games with a run differential of -1. Maybe I'm answering the question. Sustainable or unsustainable?
Actually, at that clip, no, of course not, right? If they keep under a negative run differential, but I don't believe that they're going to is the thing. I think the offense will get better as the season goes, kind of make up for the pitching, maybe, you know, riding hot right now and maybe not being as strong as it's been. Plus, I think they'll add in season. I think this is a good team. I really felt all the way that Texas and Arizona had classic World Series hangovers. That's why I like both this year. I don't have them going back to the World Series against each other, but I have Texas making the playoffs, making some noise, and as I mentioned, Arizona winning it. So I like both of the 2023 World Series participants to bounce back this year. So at this level, the way they've done it, no, of course not sustainable, but will they get better and smooth out things like their run differential in Texas? I believe so. So pretty sustainable in general. Again, not an 80% winning clip, but at a high-end winning clip.
The last one, bizarro version of this. I think I know the answer, but I have to ask. Atlanta Braves 1-8. They continue like that, or does this turn around dramatically?
I think it turns around dramatically. This is one of those teams that, you know, everyone has as a contender on some level, whether you have them winning the division or not, and they're off to a wretched start. And I'm not going to say that we wouldn't notice a 1-8 run in July if it happened, but we wouldn't be freaking out. We're freaking out because it's the beginning of the season and we want to change all of our priors. I don't see anything that has changed here in 9 games that would completely take me off this team. You know, they got the Reynaldo Lopez injury. Okay, that's a bummer. They still got 2 studs at the top there with Sale and Schwellenbach. I'm a big Grant Holmes fan. I like him in the middle there. AJ Smith-Shawver's a compelling young arm. And, of course, Strider's coming back. That's the thing, too. They're adding 2 MVP, you know, top of their scale candidates, a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate are going to come back. And, obviously, they wanted to just kind of hold the fort until then, and they started 1-8. But I just don't see this continuing. This feels like Houston last year where we wanted to bury them. And we even got to a point, and I'll raise my hand. I got to a point that they were 19 and like 35 or something. And MLB now starts running the numbers. No team that's ever been 19 and 35 has made the playoffs, this, that, and the other. I'm like, dang, maybe they really are in some trouble. And they came out of it. And I think this Braves team is even more talented than that Astros team. So no, I cannot quit the Braves.
I thought you would say that. All right, DFS to take us out.
So we're looking at a pretty fun day today because there are a lot of good pitchers. It's not quite an ace day, but there are some guys at the top that you can be very interested in. Logan Gilbert in Seattle against Houston. Houston, a tough lineup, respect them, but in Seattle, I'm always interested in the Seattle pitcher. You mentioned Michael King going to the Athletics. That could be a little bit dicey because of that park for sure, but Michael King is a stud. I like Justin Steele versus Texas, and I like Logan Webb versus Cincinnati. Webb, Gilbert, and Steele are all at home. And look, I've been wrong so far on Hunter Green. He was a fade for me this year. I still have some concerns about him maintaining his home run rate, but he's looked great so far. He has the best stuff plus in baseball right now. He goes to visit your Giants. That's going to be a really interesting matchup. And of course, Kodai Senga versus Miami, you got to love. Don't sleep on, if you want to zig, don't sleep on Casey Mize against the Yankees. That's all I'm going to say there. That's a risky one. That's a good zig if you want to get off the board there.
I like zigging. Real quick, yes or no answer. Would you have given Vlad 14 years, $500 million?
Yeah, if I'm the Blue Jays specifically, because they can look at it as the grand picture. When he was putting up like 8 WAR, they were paying him $12. Okay. So they can kind of look at it as the entire picture. I love when the players get paid,
thank
especially
you,
a general.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, we got tweets at Beating the Book.
Jesse Welch just got me. That was me laughing coming back from a break in Jesse's tweet.
We'll get there. JD in Florida. Didn't know, man. Jason Weingarten moonlighted as a painter. Haze and fumes everywhere. You're not kidding, man. I don't know if we're going to make it.
I think it's getting better in here. I don't know. I just called the network by the wrong name last segment. So.
Yes, he did. He has no idea where he works.
For 8 years.
Chuckism 1. Hey, if Kelly passes out, can I be producer number 10? Yes, it's yours, Chuck.
That's how it works. Whoever gets to the chair first.
Whoever gets to the, that's right. If Kelly goes to the ground, not only will I not help him in getting up, gets to the chair first. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Yo, hey, man. Lean in and listen very carefully. Inhale. I highly recommend inhaling. I've done all I can do. Hashtag suck it Fezzik. Fezzik does not like that clothes that I have. We've done all we can do. He doesn't like that. Thank you for noticing, Primetime. Best listeners notice everything on the show. Love you guys. Brian Schaefer, not so fast, Gil, with the race to 10. Listen to this, he says. I would say your Giants will get it. Raining on East Coast right now. The Dodgers will get rained out today. The Giants will win and have 9 wins, and then it'll come down to tomorrow. And guess what? The Dodgers might get cold canceled tomorrow. It will be in the 20s. So he's saying they might get a game canceled because of cold tomorrow. That's his prediction.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine if that's what prevents the Dodgers to win the race to 10 and somebody else sneaks it in? Somebody else is going to be the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. And by the way, what gets me about this is this will just tease us because the Mets will get to about 8 when this happens, or 9. Yeah. Oh, so close once again. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. I know it shocked you. Don't send me emails. I tell you what, Gil, after watching Duke beat the brakes off of Bama, I was so confident they'd win the whole thing that I cashed out my plus 440 Florida ticket and put it all on Duke to win the whole thing. Finish me. Finish me. It's the first time we ever got a tweet where somebody said, finish me.
Oh, I found another useful cash out option tip out there for like where the cash out option becomes actually useful. I mean, Matt Brown and I were talking about this. When you have golf bets that have like definitely lost.
Yes.
I'll take anything
You'll
back.
Take anything.
I'll take anything back.
It's a fantastic strategy, Kel.
I had Tommy Fleetwood, top Englishman. He was like the third Englishman down the leaderboard with no shot. And I was like, yes, I will take $6 back. Thank you.
$6.08? Give me that.
Yes.
This is Drew from Boise. Oh, no, there's so many of these. Frank Doyle found I have a 20-1 Draymond to win Defensive Player of the Year ticket over the weekend. I knew this must have come from a numbers game, dug back in the VSiN archives, and yes, on November 21st, at the 20-minute, 25-second mark, Zach Cohen mentions Green as a potential Defensive Player of the Year candidate as he will, quote, lobby for himself on his podcast, unquote.
Zach Cohen did text me saying that he absolutely remembers saying this on our air.
Yes.
And we'll never forget it.
Did he remember also ruining the show Impractical Jokers with a comment as well? Drew from Boise, Gil, Posey's Giants are running, stealing, going first to third, second to scoring, and have an awesome bullpen. 6 innings and over. Pressure. Bust pipes. Don't I know it, Drew. Watched every one of these games so far. Chance Copperpot, yo, I'm on a heater. Do you lower your bet size the longer a good run lasts? I know the losses are coming. What say you? Chance, you would be the first guy I know who does that, actually. But I understand what you're saying, because you feel doom is impending.
Yeah, I almost want to say this is smart thinking.
I almost want to say it, too.
Because nobody asks that. They usually ask the opposite, right? I'm on a heater. Let me double, triple what I'm betting.
But is it worse to then continue your heater and then you pare it down artificially?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I would be betting what you've been betting.
If I'm being honest, I wouldn't do it, but. I hear what you're saying, Chance. We'll do more tweets because there's tons. We want to get to Jake. Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM channel, SiriusXM NHL, that is, at JHahn4, that's the number 4, H-A-H-N. Jake, I'll meet you on the corner of Spadina, and I couldn't think of another cross-section there in Toronto. How you doing, man?
Spadina and Bloor is a safe play. I can meet you at Spadina and Bloor. No problem. It's a little busy. I don't know. Maybe we'll pick a more quiet spot to meet up, but it's good to be with you guys. This is my favorite time of the year. I think like a lot of sports fans, April is just, it's special, right? Final Four over the weekend. We got the championship tonight. It's Masters week. So I know me and Kelly are fired up for that. And hopefully the weather's turning. It really isn't where I am, guys, but hopefully it's turning where you guys are, and it's getting a little bit nicer, and hockey playoffs right around the corner as well. So yeah. I'm in a great mood on this Monday.
It was spectacular weekend. Vegas weather-wise here was for sure. Let me ask you real quick then. Masters, have you made any bets before we get to hockey? Any Masters bets?
Colin Morikawa 18-1 is in for the Masters. Now, a little concern maybe about the weather coming up for this weekend. Some early projections looking like it could be cold, maybe a little bit of rain, particularly on Friday. So if you want to fire up the Euro grinder angle, maybe this is the type of Masters we go back to when Danny Willett won it, and when it's a little lower scoring and cold weather comes into play, sometimes you maybe favor those Euros. So obviously Morikawa isn't that angle, but 3 straight top 10s. here at this tournament, guys. He's proven to be a major player. Big tournaments, majors, he steps up. He's usually in the mix. He's won a couple before. So I trust him here. And I think at 18-1 compared to some of the players around him in a tournament where I feel like there's probably only maybe 10 guys that can win when they show up, I think Morikawa gives you some pretty good value here.
Okay, to hockey. Alex Ovechkin does the unthinkable. 895 goals. He get his 895th. Got his 895th yesterday on Long in Long Island. Caps loss. It's just unbelievable. I want to just take a moment again. Like, this was something we thought with an age curve that he wouldn't get till maybe late next year. And then all of a sudden this year happened. And it was fitting. It was right on his spot, right? Just a one-timer. He goes into the headfirst dive. There he is getting champagned by his teammates. And then picked up and the celebration ensued. It was just amazing. I guess your thoughts on that, but really the question I want to ask you is, while the Caps are, you know, deadlocked, or not deadlocked, but they're in a dogfight with Winnipeg and Dallas for the most points this season in hockey, recently the Caps have lost 5 of 7. And my question is more to you about, has this hurt the Caps in some way, this pursuit?
Oh, no, it's an excellent point, because watching this team all year, Gil, I've been waiting for them to hit a speed bump. They've been the most consistent team in the NHL, never losing 2-3 in a row, never letting anything bleed longer than a week, right? And it's a long season. Even the best teams go on some sort of losing streak at some point. It just never really happened for Washington. The last couple of weeks, amongst this Ovi great chase and everything that's been going on, they've quietly had some really bad results. Sunday included, losing 5-1 to an Islanders team that's likely not going to make the playoffs. They gave up 8 goals to the Sabres a couple weeks back as well. So some concerning results, but I think this happened at the perfect time for them. With a few games left, if the Ovi chase bled into the last game or two of the season, I think things could get a little bit dicey. But the fact that they can celebrate, put this behind them, have the positive vibes, and now get back to playing the Capitals hockey that they've been playing all season with a few games left, maybe even get Ovechkin some rest as well, which could be crucial for an older player. I think this happened at the perfect time for Washington, and they're staring down a first round matchup with the Montreal Canadiens, which on paper may look easy, but a Habs team playing with confidence with those home games at the Bell Center, that could be a dangerous potential first round matchup. So they definitely need to tighten it up here over the next week or so.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good sentiment that it's over now. Good for the Caps. They got it over when they did, as they go for their fourth President's Trophy. And then obviously what they really care about is a great performance in the postseason. What did you land on today, Jake, in the NHL?
Yeah, for the NHL today, look, the big story today, guys, is the St. Louis Blues going for win number 13 in a row. 13. Now, the NHL record, if you're wondering, for wins consecutively is actually 17. The Blues can't get there this year. They can max out on 16. They don't have enough games left to get the 17 wins in a row. So it would actually have to carry over into next season. This is probably the toughest game left on their calendar. And I think it's interesting from both angles, because Winnipeg needs this one bad. They want to lock up the Central Division. This is a huge game for the Jets. And St. Louis just doesn't lose right now. So you can make a strong case for Winnipeg here on home ice. All good things come to an end, streaks end. But at this point, I'm taking the Blues at anything plus money, guys. And I'm just going to ride this win streak, because the way that they're playing, they're finding different ways to win games. They beat a good Avalanche team over the weekend. You can argue this is a tough spot in Winnipeg, but I just think they're playing better hockey than the Jets right now. So I'm going to take the Blues at the plus money price.
You're going to take the Blues today. Hope Winnipeg closes out better than OKC did, Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That was not fun. For those of us who wanted them to get to 70, and that's an old other story. Okay. Just one team under the radar before you go. Give us one team that most people aren't thinking about that you think has value to win it all once they get in the playoffs.
So it'll tie into a play I could make tonight, guys. Love the LA Kings on home ice against the Seattle Kraken. Puck line, regulation, however you want to play it to get some better odds. I like the Kings, and they would be that team for me. And maybe not necessarily lying in the weeds, Gil, but they have not had a good time against Edmonton in the playoffs over the last few years. Potentially could get them again. I think this is the year you see the LA Kings finally beat the Oilers.
Jake, love it. Always great to see you, man. Thank you.
Always good chatting with you, boys. I enjoy Masters Week.
Yes, you too. What a great week it is. A tradition unlike any other. We'll, of course, have full Masters talk as the week progresses, and a special Beating the Book podcast with Kelly and Matt today on that subject as well. Wes Reynolds has some thoughts on that and more. Title game tonight. That's next right here on A Numbers Game.